So we'll begin by reading chapter 10 of the Bhagavad Gita, text number 25. We do not have it on the board, but I'll just read it. And then we'll read something of the purport, then we will get into the main substance of the presentation. So this is Bhagavad Gita, this is 10:25. And this is Krishna speaking to Arjuna. Mahashinam bhrigu aham giram as mekam aksharam yagyanam japa yagnosmi stavaranam himalayaha. Okay, please repeat after me. Maharishinam, among the great sages, bhriguhu, bhrigu. Aham, I am. Giram, of vibrations. Asmi, I am. Ekam aksharam, pranava. Let me say that again. Ekam aksharam, pranava. Yagyanam, of sacrifices. Japa yagnehe, chanting. Asmi, I am. Stavaranam, of immovable things. Himalayaha, the Himalayan mountains. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace. Srila Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Of the great sages I am Bhrigu, of vibrations I am the transcendental Om, of sacrifices I am the chanting of the holy names Japa, and of immovable things I am the Himalayas. Purport. Brahma, the first living creature within the universe, created several suns for the propagation of various kinds of species. Among these sons, Bhrigu is the most powerful sage. Of all the transcendental vibrations, the Om, Omkara, represents Krishna. Of all sacrifices, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the purest representation of Krishna. Sometimes animal sacrifices are recommended, but in the sacrifice of Hare Krishna, there is no question of violence. It is the simplest and the purest. Whatever is sublime in the world is a representation of Krishna. Therefore, the Himalayas, the greatest mountains in the world, also represent Him. The mountain named Meru was mentioned in a previous verse, but Meru is sometimes movable, whereas the Himalayas are never movable. Thus, the Himalayas are greater than Meru. Okay. Sorry? Meru. It's Meru. Okay, so please repeat after me of the great sages. I am Bhrigu. Of vibrations, I am the transcendental Om. Of sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names Japa. And of immovable things, I am the Himalayas. Okay. So we begin by begging the blessings of His Holiness Chandramouli Maharaj. Suspicious presence can make everything auspicious. And also we beg your blessings as Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis, so we can say something that will be pleasing to the Guru Parampara on this particular topic. So, let's see how we can frame this. So we are engaged in this activity. Of sacrifices and the chanting of the holy names. And Prabhupada in this purport is saying of all sacrifices, the chanting is the purest representation of Krishna. Being part of a spiritual community is a very interesting thing. It is a great blessing, but also how we engage in that activity of being part of the community also presents some challenges. One subtle challenge is when we take things for granted and take the process mechanically. So there's an emphasis, a tremendous emphasis by Srila Prabhupada, by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by all the Vedas, ultimately on this chanting of the holy names. And because there is an emphasis, therefore this is repeated. And the repetition is meant to establish the supremacy of something. Prabhupada will sometimes say this in relation to this verse, Harinama, Harinama, Harinam, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nastieva, 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 Gatiya, and Yata. It is stated 3 times to make it a categorical. Okay. The downside, from our perspective, is when something is repeated again and again, if the depth of that message is not caught, then it becomes a cliche. Yeah. A cliche means it's something that you hear all the time, so it literally becomes forgotten, or the significance of it becomes forgotten. So you hear you're not the body. Yes, yes, I've heard that before, tell me something different. Or you hear the chanting of the holy names is the most important. Yes, yes, I've heard that before, so tell me something different. And it can become, as we said, a mechanical practice. So with these seminars that Maharaj is doing and the emphasis given by our leaders in our movement, it is one of the benefits is to bring this back into conscious awareness. So it doesn't become mechanical. So we remember what we are doing, why we are doing it. And therefore within our tradition, there is such a wealth of teachings about how to chant. Yeah. There's so many different instructions about how to chant, so many things given by Srila Prabhupada. I was very, very inspired by the prayers that Maharaj gave yesterday. I mean, really wonderful prayers to the beads, prayers to the Lord. The other side of it is that because there's so much, it can become somewhat bewildering. So with this exploration today, it is just it is literally a step in a journey. And it is a journey that we've all probably begun, hopefully. And that is that in Krishna consciousness, we are personalists. We are transcendental personalists. Therefore, in our practice of Krishna consciousness, it can be greatly inspired and enhanced the more that we make that practice also personal. So many instructions are given about how we can chant. And what we're trying to, or the essential thing we're trying to encourage in this seminar, is to really try to deepen and change the quality of our relationship with the Holy Name. The first thing to understand is that it is a relationship. Yeah? Krishna, in the form of His Holy Name, personally is reciprocating with everyone based upon the quality of our endeavor, the quality of our chanting. My wife attended the seminar by Chandramuli Maharaj in London, and she was so enlivened by it. And I think Maharaj made the point there also, and I heard him make it yesterday, that even the attentiveness is a gift. But we have to endeavor for that particular gift. At the same time, we've all come in with different types of samskars from a previous life. We've all come in with different levels of sukriti from previous lives. So all of us have our individual journey to the same destination. And if you think about this, you can see this. You can see that there are some devotees, they struggle with some aspect of spiritual life that you find easy. Right? Have you ever had that experience? And you think, why can't they just get it together in this area, you know? Some devotees, I remember hearing my spiritual master explain that different devotees will have different challenges. Some devotees in their previous life, they were yogis. So they very much loved being on their own. And meditating on their own. And their struggle comes when they have to interact in a community with other devotees. Because that is something that is a little bit more new to them, a little bit more foreign. For some devotees, that is not an issue. For some devotees, they love being around other people. They get their energy from others. But their difficulty is being regulated. So everyone will have their different challenges. Because we all come in with different karma, different samskaras. But the other side is that there will be something that we carry that can help us in our journey. We will each have something that we carry, and there'll be some aspects of the approach towards the holy name which will have more of an enlivening effect for some than for others. Although all of them are powerful. But because of the modes that we have, we were explaining yesterday how Prabhupada says the ninefold process of hearing and chanting, etc., it can be done in different modes. I think it's in third canto, Bhagavatam, Prabhupada explains that. And it's also explained that each of those have also sub-modes. So you can actually go on, there's many combinations of that. So what we want to encourage in this time that we have together, and we'll do a few different things, we've got some handout as well, is we want to encourage you to try to really, really try to do something that we don't do so well in our movement. I was going to give a seminar, I'm still working on it, called Seven Habits of Highly Effective Devotees. And I was reflecting on some wonderful, Maharaj is an ocean of realization. Some wonderful points that Maharaj has made over the years in different seminars. And one of the things that we see, Maharaj was explaining many times that if we have the mood that we just have to finish our 16 rounds, he said, then you'll never become a serious chanter of the holy names. Yeah. And it was a really powerful point. And I was trying to reflect on what Maharaj was saying. And a few things came to mind. Because I shared the point in London with a group of devotees. We were doing some discussions on the chanting. And there was some agitation. One of them made the point after one of the exercises we're going to do today. He said, but we have to, because, we have so many other things to do, etc., etc. And it got me thinking how also the chanting, especially in our beginning stages, also is going to be accessed based on how we arrange our lives so that we can actually chant properly. Yeah. In other words, if there's a lot of passion, it sometimes can interfere with our ability to sit down and really give our minds to the chanting. In this respect, I also recall a seminar, no, it was a class. It was a morning class given by His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj. This was in London on Radhastami, 1999. And he said that he feels that practically everyone who comes to our movement has the ability to make it all the way in terms of Krishna consciousness. He said, but in many cases we don't. And he said something which always left an impression in my mind. He said, but in many cases that we don't. He said, I don't think it's because they get the devotees get the chant. He said, I don't think it's because the devotees get the chanting wrong. He said, however, when the devotees aren't correctly situated, their minds become disturbed, and that's what makes the chanting difficult. So when we chant Hare Krishna, the ability to access the holy name is enhanced by being in a mindset which helps us to understand what we are doing. So the chanting is also going to be connected to the way that we are living and the modes that we are allowing to come upon us. When the society is very much in the mode of passion or the mode of ignorance, one of the things that's lost is reflective thinking. A society which is too much running around, just trying to get stuff done, then we hear but we don't hear. Pasyanapi na pasyati. So we hear the scriptures but we don't really hear it because I'm thinking about something else to do. Jai Shri Shri Pancha Tattva Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gonitai Ki Jai. Shri Shri Satra. Shri Guru Parampara Ki Jai. So what we want to do is try to reverse that. And one of the ways to reverse that is to remember the four stages that we're meant to be considering in our spiritual life. So I'll go through those four. And then also what we're going to try and do in the seminar is make it very interactive and very reflective. Okay, as I said, it's just a step on the journey. But the idea behind this is we want you to try and really think what helps you to chant attentively. Okay? What different approaches to the holy name that are given by our acharyas? What particular circumstances help us to chant attentively? We know that that's the goal. We know that the goal is to chant Shuddhanam. We know the goal is to call out the names of the Lord. As Prabhupada said, as Maharaj repeated yesterday, to chant like a child calling for their mother. Okay? How are we going to make this journey to really develop a relationship with the holy name? A strong relationship. To the point that when we chant, we really feel enlivened by the chanting and we really relish the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Okay? That's what we're trying to achieve. So the four stages in terms of really trying to imbibe something, is first Shravana. So we read from third canto, and there's a point that Prabhupada made in that purport, I think, well, the verse we read yesterday, and Prabhupada was saying that knowledge begins by hearing. Okay? So the first stage is Shravana. But the difficulty that we have is often that that's where it ends for us. And that is a problem. Yeah? The second stage is Manana. So with Maharaj's classes, everything that we read, we want to really think about it. What does this mean? What is Krishna? What is Prabhupada? What are they trying to say? When we start to go on this journey, it starts to leave impressions in our mind. Yeah? Ultimately, our entire process is to reform the consciousness and to bring it back to Krishna consciousness. Cheto, Dapana, Marjanam, to cleanse this mind. So the second stage is, we've heard something, but now we have to actually think about what I've heard. You know, what does this actually mean? What is being said about the holy name? And we'll do a little reflection on one of the verses that Maharaj mentioned yesterday, because if we look at this carefully, you'll feel a shift, you'll feel something different about our teachings. The first stage is we try to test drive something. So we pull it into practice. So I actually do it. And I get a feel for what it's like to do this. Now, there's a fourth stage that's sometimes mentioned, and that's Vandana. Because with all of our endeavor, we endeavor to hear, we endeavor to meditate, we endeavor to apply. But for the perfection of all things in spiritual life, we need the mercy. And so we are calling out to the Lord, please, I'm going to try, but ultimately, unless you give your mercy to me, I'm not going to be able to do this. So please be merciful unto me. Please see my endeavor and please bless me with the perfection of that endeavor. So Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana, Vandanam. Okay? So as we go through the rest of the seminar, we really want to encourage you to think about what this means for you. Yeah, we'll see. I'm conscious of time. I'm going to make sure I finish at 9 o'clock, and that's a promise. That's no problem. And like I said, the essential thing is to make the journey. We're going to start by reading. Yeah. I'm just going to read one of these verses from the handout that Marge gave us yesterday. And don't worry if you can't see it, but what we want you to do is hear. Okay? What we want you to do is hear what we're actually saying. And then we're going to have a reflective discussion on this, on one of these wonderful verses. Let me just see if there's something else I'm going to take. Okay, so we'll just do this one. So I came across this verse in a Japa seminar. It was a handout also that Satchinanda Maharaj gave. And when I looked at it, I thought, this is absolutely amazing, you know? And I did an exercise with the devotees there, just looking at this verse and just taking it very slowly and reflecting on what's actually being said. Because if we do this, if we slow down and go a bit deeper, What happens is, in terms of consciousness, it leaves more of an impression in the consciousness. So I was speaking to one devotee who was born in the movement, and they were talking about some of the Gurukulis. And they were talking about how why some of the Gurukulis don't practice sadhana. And they said, and they gave an example of one of their relatives who was also born in the movement. And they said that this person went to Gurukul. And when he did something wrong, the punishment that he was given is he was told, you have to go and stand in the corner and chant. Yeah, very unfortunate. Yeah, so what happened? Yeah, exactly. Really bad mistake. So what happened was it created a negative emotional anchor in his mind. He loves kirtan, interestingly enough. But the japa, when he goes to chant, because it's this impression of being given the chanting, the japa as a punishment. And it's interesting that how we practice our japa also leaves a certain anchor. The more we create in circumstances where we chant, especially like this morning when we're chanting with the devotees, with Tulsi, before the deities, in a very wonderful environment, you leave a strong positive anchor in the chanting. A relationship. When you think back to the chanting, you remember, oh, peaceful, morning time, blissful, association. It leaves a very strong positive impression, which then spurs us or inspires us more to get into that more and more. Of course, the danger is the opposite. If we're always, and I've been guilty of this, if we're always chanting and we're between things, and it's something I've got to get done, and it's something I've got a million other things to do, what's the impression that we leave in our consciousness with regards to the chanting? It becomes a disturbance or it's stressful. Yeah? Can anyone relate to that? Yeah? So as we go on this journey, please think about this. Without meaning to, what many of us have done in our movement is we've created negative anchors, negative emotional associations to the chanting. And because we've done that, that is why our chanting is sometimes difficult, or that is why the chanting is something that we kind of just try and get done or try and get away. But we need to reverse that process. And the prayers, the sanghas, all of these things are to reverse the process. Because the chanting objectively is blissful. But if we cover it with a mundane consciousness, we won't understand what it really is. Yeah? So behind this is a second point. Let's stop there. And let's do this as a reflective exercise. Let's just stop there. I want you to think about yourselves personally. When you, and this is something I'm going to ask you to write down or make a mental note of, you do not have to share this with anyone else. But if we're going to transform and improve our chanting, we have to begin by acknowledging where we are. That is one of the reasons why humility is so powerful. Because when we're humble, we just see, yes, I'm fallen, I do this wrong, I do that wrong, I do this wrong. It's not to make us feel bad, but it's to recognize our actual position so we can take the next step forward. So for your reflection, I'm just going to give you literally 1 or 2 minutes. I want you to write down or note down or think. Honestly speaking, when you think of chanting your japa, how are you actually thinking and feeling about that practice? Yeah? So just start there. When you come to chant your japa, how do you think and feel about it? Is it something that you love to do? Is it a chore? Is it a burden? Is it something that you're inspired to do? Just start there. Just make a note. How do I honestly feel about chanting my japa? Yeah? Let's just start there. Just your own reflection. What's your emotional connotation or association with the chanting of the holy name in japa? Not kirtan, but japa specifically. Okay. You want to share something, Maj? Oh yes, sure, sure. So yeah, I wanted to... Would you like to begin, Maj?
Yeah.
Could everyone listen?
It's just one word. A challenge.
Challenge, yeah.
It's a challenge to increase the quality of my chanting in such a way that I can connect more with Krishna.
Wonderful.
So I see it as a challenge.
Wonderful. But it's wonderful that you, because the way you say it, it's clear that there's a deep, there's a loving desire.
I can see the blocks that I have to challenge and I have to get over. So for me, I look at it as a challenge to get over those blocks.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that, Maharaj. Yes, can you pass the microphone over? Over to this side, please. I mean, if you want to share, that's fine. No one's going to be forced to, but for those who want to, that's fine.
As you asked us to reflect, I just sort of went inside, and the first thing that came to my mind is that my job is my safety net, my safety zone. It's something I turn to when I'm distressed or nervous or anything, and to me it's like the anchor for the day. If I don't chant, I don't know what will happen to me, you know. Probably go more crazy than I already am. So to me, it's my safety zone.
Okay, thank you. How many? Oh yeah, one more, please. Then I will ask another question.
So many times I feel that I consider my job as duty, and I know it's not good. It's very very much not good. But from time to time, I can manage to approach it as service, mm-hmm. because once I heard in a class that chanting in front of Radhesham deities, it's worship, but when we are chanting in front of Gornita, it's service. And for me, it gave a lot, because when I can approach it as service, I can have the mood of pleasing Krishna. But actually, I need good circumstances around me to be able to do that.
Okay, thank you. So what I'm going to ask is, just a show of hands, when you thought about this in terms of the chanting, how many of you found that your reflection was somewhat maybe negative, honestly? Okay, very interesting. Very interesting. So we see what we've been saying. So for many of us, we've created unwittingly or not necessarily deliberately some negative association to the chanting. This entire thing can be reversed. That's the first thing. The entire thing can be reversed. Let's look at one way to do this. So I'm going to read one of these prayers that Maharaj gave. We're going to read it very slowly. I'm going to ask you to repeat, and then I'm going to ask you what is being said in this particular prayer. So, let's start here. And I'm going to ask you to do this reflectively and meditatively. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. So just really listen. Please just listen to what's being said. Nama chintamani rupam. Repeat, please. Nameva parama gatihi. Namna parataram nasti. Tasmanama upasmahe. Okay, so let's look at this bit by bit. So here the translation is, the holy name is a beautiful transcendental touchstone. So let's just stop there. I'll repeat this. The holy name is a beautiful transcendental touchstone. So what do you hear? What is being said in this verse about the holy name? What does that mean? Let's start there. Can you pass the mic? We'll start on this side. We're just going to do this meditatively, because rather than just go through lots of information, a few things and go deep with it. What is being said?
The holy name fulfills all desires.
Okay. It's a beautiful touchstone. It fulfills all desires. Anyone else? What is being said in this particular verse?
Any phenomena, if it becomes touched by the holy name, it becomes something different.
Okay. So the holy
something
name could
better,
yep.
something
it
more
makes
blissful.
Everything auspicious. Good. What else? Yes.
Best of everything.
It's the best of everything. Okay, now let's pause for 1 second. So what we read is the holy name is a beautiful transcendental touchstone. Now, understanding that, what does that inspire in you in regards to the holy name? If we accept it's a beautiful transcendental touchstone, what feelings are evoked by understanding that? Can you pass the microphone here? What feelings are evoked by understanding this? Okay.
For me, it means that it's beautiful, so it attracts the mind.
Okay, so it means it attracts the mind. If you could pass it back to God. What's being said? The holy name is a beautiful transcendental touchstone.
It's hope-giving, so it can work even for me.
Okay, so it's hope-giving. It can give benefits to all of us. Thank you. One more. The holy name is a beautiful transcendental touchstone. Just listen to the words.
So, because the holy name is wish-fulfilling, to me it says that I can give you Krishna.
And it is non-different, thank you. If we could pass it to Maharaj, the microphone please. We want to hear, the holy name is a beautiful transcendental touchstone.
The first thought that came to my mind was not so much about what you have been saying, but how it affects me.
Yeah.
And what I was thinking is that I have been given a very special, rare gift. And so there's a sense of gratitude, sense of appreciation for what I've been given.
Thank you, Marge. Yeah. And this is exactly the point. This is one of the key things to bear in mind. When we read our scriptures, it's meant to be deeply reflected on. When it's deeply reflected on, as Marge gave the example, you will feel something. Because you will understand more about what you've been given. And the more that we feel something, the more it leaves an impression, a positive impression, and the inspiration to take that gift and to use it properly. Okay? And this is just one part of this prayer. His Holiness Sachinanda Maharaj would often say that the difficulty in our movement is we've heard so much, but we've reflected on very little. So it's like you had all these classes, and then you turn away and go back and everyone does the same thing. But if we follow these four stages, it is actually a transformative Krishna consciousness. If you just hear, it's beneficial. Because it's purifying in of itself. But if you hear and reflect on it, it goes deeper. If you hear, reflect, and then apply it, it goes even deeper. If you hear, reflect, apply, and pray for mercy, then you're moved even further along the journey. Okay? So what we're trying to encourage is depth as opposed to quantity. Yeah? So in our spiritual life, you can take even one verse like this and keep meditating on it, thinking about what does this mean for me? What is being said by our acharyas? What are they telling me about the holy name? So it is said that in the Shikshashikam, the different verses relate to different stages of spiritual advancement. And the first verse, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, it explains the opulences of the holy name. And our acharyas have explained that that first verse relates to Shraddha. And it's interesting how they explain the connection. They explain that by understanding the benefits of the holy name, it gives one the faith to chant. Because you understand how great and how auspicious this is, and all the wonderful things that will come by the chanting. Yeah? Now it's very interesting also the Goswamis have explained that faith gives two things, virya and smriti. Virya means drive or determination, smriti means remembrance. So think about that. If we understand these verses properly, our determination to chant, our inspiration to chant actually becomes stronger. But it's not about so many things, but take the teachings, even a part of it, and go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Let's take another line of this. So I'll read the first part and go further. The holy name is a beautiful, interesting word to use, a beautiful transcendental touchstone. It is the supreme goal. Okay. It is the supreme goal. What do you understand by this? The holy name is a beautiful transcendental touchstone. It is the supreme goal. If you could pass the microphone. It's burned.
If we chant, we don't chant to reach a goal. We chant because we have reached
the
goal.
Okay, good. Now let's just take that a step further. If the holy name is not to reach a goal, but if the holy name is a goal, if we really deeply accept that, how will that change our chanting? If I accept that the holy name is the goal rather than the means to something else, how will it affect my chanting? Attentive. What else? Satisfying. Prioritizing it. Satisfying. Yes. Because there's nowhere else to go. It's not that you do it, as Maharaj is saying, it's not that you do it so you can get to something else. But this is the highest activity that we're doing. It is interesting. You can actually tell what the members of our movement believe about our process by what they do. What we read in the class is one thing, but what people believe is demonstrated by what they do. So in many cases, we don't believe it's the supreme goal, which is why it becomes something else while we run into something else. You see, and again, by the meditating on this, we can rectify that. Let's take it a step further. The holy name is a beautiful transcendental touchstone. It is the supreme goal. There is nothing higher than the holy name. Isn't that interesting? I mean, just in this one verse, it is a sutra, literally. It is packed with meaning and deep realization. There is nothing higher than the holy name. What are you hearing when you hear this? There is nothing. You can just shout out. Don't worry about the microphone, otherwise it will take time. Fantastic. Yeah. Yeah, very well. Yeah. Please.
In Srila Rupa Goswami's prayer, Namastaki, he says that of Nam and Nami, yes, the name and one who is being named, the name is higher because it has the element of mercy. So if you commit offense against one who is being named, it's only the name that can relieve you from that offense. Mm-hmm. So there's an element of mercy that's in the name that is not necessarily found in our connection with Krishna in any other forms.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And just to kind of round off, because it's 9 o'clock, and I promised I would stop on time. But I just want to pause you and just close this off. How does it feel to take this approach? Do you feel that it's a different approach to the way that we normally look at the teachings? Yeah, it's one part of it, but then you go deeper and deeper and deeper, and you can do this individually or reflecting with a friend. But we want to encourage you for your entire spiritual life. We've actually heard so much. But our problem is that we've digested hardly anything. Yeah? So with these teachings on the holy name in particular, we encourage you, take a little bit and be reflective. What are you being told about the holy name? And the more that we reflect on it, the more it's going to leave a deeper impression in our consciousness. And the proof of that is we will start to see ourselves move more towards the holy name in our spiritual journey. Really, the rest of the slides was just going to look at some of the different approaches, and I know Marge knows of these. For example, just focusing on one mantra at a time, like that. So what we did for the slide exercises was, one is just chanting one mantra at a time, and then stopping for a moment, and just reflecting, how does that feel when I chant this? And let me write down, what are my realizations when I take this approach? Yeah, one activity was going to be Prabhupada made they made the comment, just try to hear yourself chant sincerely. Okay? So you actually practice this as a meditation. I chant and I try to hear myself sincerely chanting. What does that feel like? And again, you stop. This is not the normal japa that we do. This is meditative, real mantra meditation. And you stop and you just think, how did that feel when I chant like this? When I do this, what was the experiences? Another approach would be using the prayers that Marge gave. I used these this morning. It was wonderful. To be honest, it was absolutely wonderful. Very, very blissful. You know? And so, just when I do these prayers, but most of all, behind this, the truth of the matter is, we want to encourage you to try and chant in the mode of goodness. Try and create a space in your life so when you're chanting, it's not a chore, it's not stressful. It's not, I've got to get this done because I've got a million and other things to do. You will know what's going to make that work. But we want to encourage you, make a space in your life so you can actually do your chanting and it's not painful, it's not negative. Because the more that you do that, the more that you will be able to experience everything that the scriptures are saying about the holy name. Okay? So the journey is to create that space and to try the different teachings of our acharyas about the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when you're chanting, you can be before the deity and look at the beautiful form of the deity while you're chanting. It will work in different ways for different people. But look for what's going to help you to be absorbed in the chanting. The more that you find the personal approach that really inspires and energizes you to be absorbed in your chanting, then your spiritual life can really take off with taste. Yeah? So for work, what we do is I work with leaders and managers, and I often ask them, what keeps you energized in your role as a leader? So we are going to ask you something similar. Where do you gain your inspiration to chant? What keeps you energized and inspired in the process of chanting? Because if you are able to pinpoint these things and do more of them and do it often, you've just tapped into a great source of inspiration and energy that can keep helping you in your journey towards the holy name. Okay? Okay. So forgive me for going over because I promised that Mataji came to me early and said I shouldn't because they need to organize for the sacrifice, for the yajna, for the initiations. But did you get the main point? Yeah? So there's two things. One is the main thing about what helps you, and two, let's do our spiritual life properly. Let us make it an actual meditation. So it's something that we relish and go deep with, and it does require some sacrifice. In some cases, we're going to have to move some ways of some part of our lifestyle around, to be very honest. Because for some of us, our lifestyle is so stressful and in the mode of passion and ignorance, you won't be able to chant properly. Yeah, and it's no. I've also been in that situation. I completely know what it's like. But we got to try and move in that direction. It cannot. If the chanting's done properly, it will displace other things. Actually, if the chanting's done properly, you will actually start to adjust other areas of your life because you want to chant properly. That's a sign that we're moving towards the goal in the proper way. Yeah. So anyway, again, forgive me for going over, but we're going to stop there because otherwise I'll be in trouble. Okay. Anyway. Shri Nam Prabhu Ki Jai. Shri Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai. Jai Nitya Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.